Praise God. Let's thank the Lord one more time. I feel like the Lord is in this place, and we have much to lean into in this service. So we're starting a brand new service here today, and a series, and it's called Grow, Relationships That Grow. A few months ago, we had our church birthday, and I felt like the theme for this next year, year 8, is simply that word, grow. The word grow just means to keep increasing, keep getting bigger, larger over time. And as we follow Jesus, we grow. He expects us to grow. And because we're turning into the month of February, it's the first Sunday in the month, I thought that it would be helpful for our church to just be thinking about relationships. Amen. Hopefully you are thinking about relationships in some context, because we all have them. Relationships with our family. If you're married, relationships with your spouse. If you have kids, relationship with your kids. If you are a child, relationship with your parents or with your schoolmates or your relationships at work. Relationships, we're built for relationships, amen? All of us have some type of relationships in our lives, even if we don't know it or not. And so what I want to do in this series over the month of February is talk about how we can have relationships that are growing. Not just relationships that are stagnant, but how can these relationships grow? So if you're ready, say ready.
Ready.
If you're hungry, say let's eat. Let's eat. Father, I pray as we eat from your word now, as we grow, as we go, Jesus, would you teach us your word in this time? Holy Spirit, we are aware of our need for you. So step into this room, join us online, and Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear, and hearts that are open and soft to receive. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So we think about this title, Relationships That Grow. I wanted to remind you that in order to have growing relationships in all capacity, there is a first relationship that trumps all of them, that rises to the top as the most important relationship. I'll call this the cornerstone relationship. If you removed this relationship, all the other ones fall flat. All the other relationships are not informed and are not as powerful and are not as they could be if you take away this first relationship. So I wanted to start with a foundational sermon here in this Relationships That Grow series. I want to talk about growing the most important relationship in our lives. Do y'all know what it is? Relationship with
Jesus.
Come on, with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, three in one. Come on, right? Grow your relationship with God. Today, if we all gathered into this room and we said we are going to mark the month of February, this will be a month that we're going to grow our relationship with God, I think that's going to make the enemy terror, right? That's going to produce a lot of power and weight in all of our lives and in our church and in our city and in the nations. Come on, if we take this message serious, relationships that grow. So let me go ahead and start that out with a reality statement, and I want to encourage you to write this down or take a screenshot of it on your phone. Here's this reality statement. Read it with me off the screen. Ready, set, go. The primary calling on our lives is not a religion for Jesus, rather a relationship with Jesus. When I recognized and realized this reality, my life changed. I think for a majority of my life, I felt like religion was something that God wanted us to do for him, as if for some reason he would save us to employ us. That we were saved by Jesus to do a task for Jesus. And I'm not against doing, I'm not against tasks, I'm against those things taking place over the relationship. The primary calling on our lives, if you were to say, hey, what's God calling me to do? I wanna know my calling. Can I just tell you the primary calling? The primary calling on all of our lives is not to do something for Jesus. It's not a relation. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. And I want to go ahead and just set the tone with that, because religion in itself is not necessarily a bad word. In fact, the Bible, James, the brother of Jesus, even speaks to religion that's good and true. Religion in itself could be helpful, but the primary calling on our lives is not to a religion. It's not to a bunch of activity. The primary calling on our lives is to a real, authentic, right relationship with God Himself. And that should move us to worship. That should move us here today. We're talking about relationship. My fear would be that you would get plugged into this church and you would start growing and you would start reading and you would start praying and you would start giving and people around you would say, man, you got really religious on me. But maybe that would be a moment for you to be like, no, no, no. That's actually not what happened. I started growing in my relationship with God. Maybe you interpreted it that way, but friend, I'm not growing in a religion. I am growing in a relationship. And so I just want you all to hear me here today that the primary relationship in our lives that must grow, that would be good for us if it's going to inform every other relationship, is the one that we have with King Jesus. And how wild is it that he wants a relationship with you? Yes, you. And so somebody say, let's grow. Let's grow. I read this quote from an author named Henry Blackaby. I love reading Henry Blackaby's daily devotional called Experiencing God Daily. And he says it in one of his devos. He says, we're so activity-oriented. We assume we're saved for a task to perform rather than for a relationship to enjoy. Think about that for a second. I think our hearts and our minds are wired to be so go, go, go. We're so activity driven. We want to do something. We want to make a difference with our lives. That's not a bad thing. But be careful that you're not so activity driven that you confuse your primary calling. Your primary calling is not to a task or an activity, but it's to a relationship to enjoy. And as you enjoy the relationship with God, He begins to do the work through us. And that's what I want us to focus on over the next few minutes. There's three points I want to get to on how you can grow your relationship with God. And can I just tell you that this could be a whole sermon series, right? Growing your relationship with God could end up having 15 points on things that you could do, but I just want to focus on three. Everybody say three.
Three.
All right, I'm going to give my best to emphasize three, and I believe if you take some good notes and you lean in over the next few minutes, I think you'll be able to grow as well. Come on. First point, if you're going to grow your relationship with God, here's one thing I want you to remember. Remember to abide. In some of this sermon, if you're a little bit more advanced in your Bible understanding or your Christianity, you might say, I already know those words, but don't allow familiarity to take your focus away from the message you need today. Right? I needed this message today, and I was preaching, and I said, I need this. Grow your relationship with God by remembering to abide. What does the word abide mean? Let me define it. The word abide, by definition, I love this R word. It means to remain. To remain stable or fixed in a state. To endure without yielding, right? The word abide or the word abode, it means a place that you go to dwell in, to remain there. Here's what Jesus says. He says, I'm calling you disciples, even as I go and die on the cross and I rise from the grave and I ascend into heaven. What's our calling, Lord? Jesus, you know what he says? Remain in me. Abide in me. Somebody say, prove it. All right, John 15, you asked for it. Let's go ahead and let's look at it. John 15, Jesus is giving a sermon. I think it's one of the most masterful sermons Jesus ever gave. There's a lot of messages Jesus preached, but this one right here, I think, rises up there at the top. Here's what he says. I want you to try to read it with me if you feel led to. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Somebody say, more fruit.
More fruit.
I love that. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. What does the word abide mean? Remain. If you want to bear fruit, if you want to be effective, if you want to grow your relationship with God, he says, just hang with me, remain with me, dwell with me. Abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Jesus reiterates, right? He says, whoever abides in me, whoever remains in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I mean, I challenge you. Go outside on this kind of gloomy Las Vegas day and find you a branch on the ground. Pick that branch up and realize the ineffectiveness of that branch. I mean, you could preach to that branch. You could say, branch, do something great. Produce fruit. Come on, branch. You could connect it to this pulpit. You could try to plant it in the ground. You could try to put a Christian walk t-shirt on the branch. It won't be able to do anything. But if you connect it to the vine, it has its power. It just has to stay there. It just has to remain. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if the word of God is staying fresh, if the word of God is staying close, come on, if we're in the word, if we're remaining in the word, and the word is remaining in us, he goes, that'll mess up your prayer life. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So what's Jesus talking about here? He's saying, be careful that you remember to remain. Remember to abide. Let me give you a little tagline. When it comes to this tagline, it's just a thought on how to keep this fresh. Here it is. Remember to abide. Don't stop. Come on, just nudge the person next to you just gently and just say, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Come on, don't stop. Those in the back, don't stop. Those watching online right now, come on, look at me online. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Let me just go ahead and get, I want to be practical. I want to be transparent, even in a way of like almost a little bit of a caution. Today, if you've been following Jesus for, let's just say, north of 10 years, if you've been following Jesus, if you believed in Jesus for more than 10 years, could you just raise your hand real quick? Oh, we got some seasoned vets here in the room here today. Come on. There's a lot of people who have been following the Lord for a while. Okay, well, I got a word for those who didn't raise their hand as well. But specifically for those who raised their hand, can you just look at me for a second, please? So we don't attend church, but we get something out of it. Here's what I want to share with you. If you just raised your hand, I really want to caution you to not live off of something that God told you a long time ago and miss the fresh stuff that God wants to tell you today. Oh, friend, I know so many people that are mad. Oh, bro, in my 20s, I was going after it. I used to open the Bible. Woo. Oh, this just would glow. Manna came down, the words were fresh. Back then I did a Bible study in my own house. Yeah, it was great. I got pictures. They pull a scrapbook out. No, that was my condo. Yeah. We used to worship. We'd go all night. And you know, I'm always waiting for, what are you doing now? Did God stop speaking? Or did you stop abiding? Right? Please don't live off past revelation. Praise God for the word that he gave. Praise God for the seasons. I think that's kind of why God in the book of Exodus told them, hey, just eat enough for you today. It's not going to be good tomorrow. You got to come back tomorrow with a fresh appetite. You got to open the book again. If my words abide and remain in you, I don't want to live off of, man, I just want to recycle what God gave me, you know, last 2023. God was good. I'm just going to use all that again. No! God is the God of, he's the I am. He is speaking today. Don't stop abiding. If you want your relationship to grow, don't let it grow stagnant. Don't let it just stay where it was. Come on, this is your year to grow, amen? Don't stop abiding. I really believe abiding in Christ is the hack to producing much fruit. Let me put that up on the screen. It's a reality statement. When it comes to abiding, because here's what I believe. I think everybody in this room wants to produce fruit, don't you? Don't you want your life to count? Don't you want your life to have meaning? Don't you want to get to the end of it and think, man, here's all the fruit that I've produced with my life. What is fruit? Fruit's just making a difference. I think everybody's got that wiring that you want to make a difference, and I think you should. How are you going to do it? The hack, the way to do it, Jesus goes, if you abide in me, you'll produce much fruit. So I want to say that to say, hey, I'm not against the doing, the going, the moving, the walking. Our church is walk church. Come on, take a step, right? But can I tell you, the way to get there is going to be through the abide. The month of February started. It's typically 28 days. This is one of those unique months, right, where it's 29. But in the month of February, I chose to read through the book of Matthew in the gospel. And so I'm on chapter 4 today. And yesterday I read through chapter 3. Can I just tell you, I didn't read chapter 3 in Matthew to try to prepare a sermon. I read Matthew 3 so that a sermon could be prepared for me. I wasn't reading that so I could think, oh, how could I preach this? I was reading that because I need to hear the word. God, speak to me. Let the word abide in you and you in it. Friend, I want to encourage you. You'll grow. Sometimes people will ask. In fact, a guy just asked right before this service. He goes, how did you get to this place in your walk with God? I've just been abiding, remaining, didn't throw in the towel too early. Come on. I need a fresh word today, just like I did yesterday. I think Jesus gave us the playbook. Amen? Yes. Don't stop. Somebody say, don't stop. Don't stop. Let me give you the second point. So the first one is remember to abide. The second one is remember the gospel. Remember the gospel. Don't stop tagline. This one is don't drift. Don't drift. In our attempts to grow our, what's the context? Remember the context. We want our relationship with God to grow, right? I hope everybody's here because you want your relationship with God to grow. Here's how it's going to happen. Keep abiding and keep the gospel very close to you. Friend, don't drift from the gospel. Don't drift from the good news that saved you. Tim Keller says, the gospel is not just about God's power. The gospel is God's power, right? This good news, supernatural message that took you from death to life can't just be the A, B, and C of Christianity. It's the A to Z. Right? We don't just grow out of the gospel. It's like, okay, we got the gospel. We heard the good news. We responded with faith. Now let's get to the deep stuff. No, can I just tell you, the gospel is the thread that goes in. The gospel is the, what's that little circle thing in the deep end that you hold on to that holds you up? The buoy. Come on. The gospel is the buoy that keeps you in the deep end. Come on, right? The gospel is the, don't drift. I want to give you this word as a fill in the blank, right? Here's why it's an encouragement to you. The further you drift from the gospel, the closer you'll drift towards the devil. I heard someone say that. Anybody else? The further you drift away from the gospel, if you start with the good news and you know that God is good and you know that you're called to this relationship and you know that he saved you by his blood and it's sufficient and it's his work on the cross, it's not yours. If you drift from that message, you'll drift into, I'm hearing all types of stuff. Let me give you the first one that I wrote down. Friend, you'll drift towards the world. Like, you might have started here in the gospel. You were white hot for the gospel. You were excited and passionate about the gospel. And then you just said, okay, the gospel, you stay right here, Jesus. The good news that saved me, you stay right here. Let me just drift over here. Let me just see what's over here. Let me see what's over here on this keyboard. Oh, this is dope right here. This is cool. This is merch area. This, I like the lights. I like the table. I like these people. Oh! Right? And then you fall off. And then now you're over here and you're like, man, hey, what's up, Pastor Marvin? You know, what's going on, bro? Right? And all of a sudden, maybe you're just, so you sit down and you can find yourself. I can't tell you the amount of people that have been in my life that once were passionate about the gospel and are now more passionate about the world. What happened? You drift. You drift from the gospel and you end up getting passionate about other things. Other things that can't save you, other things that can't heal you, other things that can't help you. I want to encourage you, stay close to the good news. If you drift away from the gospel, the closer you'll drift toward the law. If you no longer are moved by the good news that Jesus Christ alone is the only one that can save, you might be tempted to think in your drifting, I got to save myself. I know that Jesus paid the price for me to be saved, and Jesus paid it all, but now I'm over here and it feels a long way back. God, what can I do? How much do I got to pay to get back? How much? Hey, God, what if I give you an hour of prayer to get back? No, God, what if I read 10 chapters in the Bible? God, how about I go to the altar at all three services this Sunday? What are you doing? You just drifted right into the law that Jesus saved you from. Can I tell you in one remembrance of the gospel? You might remember who you actually are. You are a loved son. You are a loved daughter of King Jesus, of the Father. Right? You are in him. In none of your mishaps and law breaking and sin in your life can take you away from the reality of who you are in Christ. And you don't work hard to earn that. You just remember that. Friend, why do we open up these little packets every first Sunday of the month? Why do we do it? Maybe it sounds silly to you that we actually have a little bit of juice and a little cracker in here, and every first Sunday of the month we partake and we open. You know why we do it? Because we need to remember the gospel. Yes. Because if we drift too far away from this, we might drift into something else. How do cults start? How do false religions start? How do people wander away from the faith? Can I just tell you this? It wasn't Jesus who moved. We tend to drift and we end up falling into all types of places. That's why I want to encourage you to anchor yourself to the gospel. And don't shift from it. Don't move from it. Paul says, even if an angel comes to you in your dream and tells you something different, curse out the angel. Maybe not curse out. Let God do the cursing, right? Basically, he says that angel should be cursed because it was demonic. Because we don't drift from the gospel. We don't shift to the gospel. The gospel is enough. So as we partake in communion even today, remember the good news. And I've had people tell me the weirdest things. Hey, Hayden, I'm going to get to church because it seems like bad stuff's happening and I got to repay back God so that good stuff can happen. You should just go to a fortune teller for that crap. I just said crap in church, yeah. That's crap. Don't compare that stuff to the gospel, the thing that actually saves. Or if you drift away from that, you'll drift into the law. Can I just use a third one? Last one. If you drift away from the gospel, you'll drift into the lies. You'll drift into the lie. You might have started here. You might have recognized that when God thinks about you, he thinks good thoughts about you. When God thinks about you, he thinks, I love you. Ooh, I got plans for you. Ooh, I got a calling on your life. Ooh, I want to do something great in your life. Ooh, when God thinks about you, he thinks that he wants you. And you drift away from that, right? And now you're over here, and you're drifting, and you're drifting. And then you think, when God thinks about me, he don't want me. When God thinks about me, he thinks about all my sins and all my flaws and all my failures, and you look at yourself in the mirror, and you don't like what you see, and you think that God's forsaken you, and then what do you say? Man, I haven't heard, I just want God to speak to me. I haven't heard God's voice in a long time. He has not moved. Yeah. But one moment, you remember the gospel again, and you remember that it was never what I did in the first place. It was never what I didn't do in the first place. That God always wanted me. So much so that Jesus died for me. Not just died, but come on, he rose for me. Every other religion may claim to be true, but every other religion doesn't have a Savior who rose from the grave. Our Savior loves us enough to rise and to call us his own. So I would just say, friend, if you want to grow your relationship with God, don't stop abiding. And don't drift toward any other message than the good news that Jesus Christ wants you. Come on. Even for the person that just raised their hand for 10 plus years, he still wants you. He's still crazy about you. He still loves you. He still calls you to that same posture. Amen. Let me give you the third and final point, and we'll illustrate this one a little differently. I'm excited about it. Third and final point, maybe unique for you, but I think you should lean in. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, don't just remember to abide. Don't just remember the gospel. But the third one is this: remember the nations. Remember the kingdom. Can I just tell you this? Remember that it's bigger than you. In fact, remember that it's bigger than us. If you do the work to remember the nations, guess who you'll find there? The Father. I believe that the Father's heart is not just set on this place. It's set on his place. It's set on the nations. It's set on the peoples of the earth. And the more you get closer to the nations, you'll grow in your relationship with the Father. I've found that to be true. Whenever I went to a global context on mission, I feel like my relationship with God grows. Whenever I step out on faith and I might not even know what's going on, guess what? I grow. And I think one of these things this year that you can do to grow your relationship with God is to remember the nations. 10 years ago, I met a pastor when we were just a Bible study. We were the Walk Church Bible study. One day we were going to be a church, but we were just starting out. And I heard of a pastor who was from South Africa who was visiting the States, and I invited him to come to that Bible study. His name is Pastor Koen Scholtz, and he started a ministry called Ethnos International, him and his wife, Saria. And Pastor Koen has inspired me from that first Bible study to this day to help me continue to think about the nations and to grow in my understanding of a global God that we serve. And so I didn't want to finish this sermon. I wanted him to finish the sermon because he's here this morning. Come on, help me welcome up Pastor Koen Scholtz. Would you take us in and help us remember the gospel, remember the nations?
Thank you, Pastor Hayden. Yeah, what a joy to be here with all of you. I'm pretty sure you are wide awake now by hearing a funny language, but it's actually English in a South African accent. You know, we are serving the Lord Almighty, the one who just spoke forth and the world came into being. That is incredible. But I also think that when we are talking about remembering God, then we know that the great command and the great commission are two different things. The great command is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength. And then, of course, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then the Great Commission is go into all the nations and making them disciples of Jesus. But so often we are thinking about the to do instead of being the to be. My wife have actually written on planks a big thing, to be or at be, because she says she's a little bit of a Martha. She likes working. Now, the same with me. I'm also a little bit of a workaholic. I like to have purpose. I had to go and buy myself some books with jokes in, because it was so awkward when I'm sitting in meeting, in conversations, you know, that is about no purposeful things, just being. I struggled with it. I always want to do something. And then at least I have a joke to tell. Then I'm not feeling so awkward. I think that leads me to this whole thing of us striving so often in our relationship. Even to abide in Christ can be very easily a striving. So often we find our identity in what we do. A couple of years ago, me and my wife had a larger, significant large ministry, and then we left it all and we started right from scratch. Somebody said to me, it's like having a mall and then you go back to start a vegetable stall in the street, you know, right from start. And when people ask me, Koen, what are you doing? Then I would say, I'm a missionary. And then they would ask, but what are you doing as a missionary? Now, I had nothing because we started off all over. And I would go in a long talk about all of the churches we planted and all the ministries that we have done in the past. And I very quickly realized that my identity, who I am, started to become what I do and no longer Jesus. It was no longer to be in Jesus, to abide in Jesus. And the great commandment cannot be if there's not a great the Great Commission cannot be if there's not a Great Commandment. So one day I walked in and, you know, we have got a big family. Me and my wife raised 16 children plus me and her, it's 18. And then sometimes people will just come in. I remember the day when a Chinese doctor knocked on our door. We have never seen him before. He says, "Are you this and this?" We said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I heard from some people that you can even teach us English." We said, "Yes." He says, "Can I come and stay with you for 2 weeks in my holiday here at the hospital?" Me and my wife says, "Bring it on." Okay, the Lord is sending the nations to us there in Zambia. And we say, of course. After 2 weeks, he never left. After a month, he never left. My wife asked him, "So Dr. Ma, when is your holiday over?" He says, "Don't you want me here?" She says, no. He says, "Thank you." Never answered till 6 months later, he went back to China. Okay, so our house was always in and out of lots of people. And one day, I was teaching at the Bible school, and I came back, and the youngest of my 16 kids, the two, they were 3, 4 years, and 4, 5 years, the two, was helping my wife to bake a cake. Now, with so many children, of course, that's great, especially if you don't know what their birthdays were, you see, so we chose birthdays. So we can have a party every month, at least one or two. So my wife was busy baking cake there, and one of them was busy trying to divide the yolk from the rest of the egg, and some of the shell fell right into the flour. And my wife patiently took it out. This little one is just saying, "Daddy, Daddy, look, we are baking a cake." They were so excited. The other one bumped over the milk. My wife picked it up and cleaned the milk off, and she was just so excited. "Dad, we are baking a cake." And as I was standing there, a truth hit me. And I realized that the kids think that they are baking a cake, but they are not. They cannot even read the recipe. They are messing up, but they are happy as larks because they are baking a cake. "Daddy, just look at this." But then it hit me that it was all about relationship. My wife that's doing something with them, even though they mess up. It's relationship at its most beautiful core. And then I knew this is what God is doing with us. We mess up. We don't always do things right as we are remembering the nations, as we are going out. For us, we are baking the cake. I am going on an outreach. I am going to the as a missionary. I am a pastor. No. We are letting the shells fall in the flour. It's not about our doing. It's about doing it with the Lord. No wonder the Lord says in the Matthew 28, he says, "And I will be with you." I'm doing it with you. Me and my wife loves to make memories. So our family, that's one of our mottos, making memories. Now you don't make memories by being a couch potato. We don't remember any of the movies per se that we've watched or anything. We remember the things we did together. And the Lord knows this. He knows that we are making memories with Him, that we are building testimonies. Therefore, as part of our relationship, He gives us purpose. He gives us meaning so that our lives is not boring. So many of us settle for boring. It bothers me deeply. So here is why we want to remember the nations. Just a couple of thoughts that I scribbled down, and I will read it quickly to you. Missions is nothing but worship. A key to abide or have a relationship with God is to let the knowledge of the glory of the Lord cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. You know, for us, we don't know the Lord just as Father and as friend. We know Him as God. And because part of our relationship, part of our abiding with Him is to see that He's revered, that the world will know who He is. We experience the Lord and encounter the Lord in new and exciting ways as we are moving with Him. He stretches our faith, our love. He stretches our prayer. He's developing us. We are ever growing. We are not stale. We learn a lot about ourselves. Our character is growing and our love for others. And gratitude. You know, when we see how blessed we are, We are not thinking about opening a water tap and there's water. But I tell you what, that's a blessing. My wife brought some kids from the slum area for a sleepover. And their favorite activity was that they could open a tap and there was water inside the house and they could bath and it was warm. Amazing. I was just thinking. And then we also start to understand the heart of God that so loved that he gave himself, his only son, so that the world will not perish. We get testimonies. It's building our remembering. I like to call it remembering forward, because as we are remembering backwards, we have the faith to go forward. We know him, and therefore we have courage. So many of us are working, living courageless. We are the ones that see the Goliath and are afraid, not the David that jumps out and say, hey, part of remembering the nations in our relationship with God is to give us courage. So another thing is wonder. Brennan Manning in his book, Ragamuffin Gospel, mentioned Rabbi Abraham Herschel. And, you know, this man had a heart attack and he was really sick. And he was lying there and he said to one of his friends, you know, I saw many miracles. I saw many great deeds of God. But I never asked him for money or greatness. I asked him for wonder. And God gave that to me. Are we still in wonder of God's love of him? So to remember the nations in prayer, going and giving, help us to connect to the purpose of the Lord that he calls his people towards. We are not called for boring. We are called for something significant. Much of our joy is found in seeing that we can be the hands and the feet of God. Count von Zinzendorf, and you can see it on the slide with me, said the following, and I love this. He says, I have one passion. It is ye and ye alone. The world is the field, and the field is the world, and henceforth that country shall be my home, where I can be most used in winning souls for Christ. And then Alistair Brown, another guy, said the following. He says, likewise, Christians love the lost. Love lost people. The logic is simple. What is true of God becomes true of his children. As God loves the lost and his children have his nature, they love the lost too. Their hearts beat in rhythm with his. Their passion is energized by his. You see, if we remember the nations, if we are going out of our comfort zones, we are discovering God's heart. My kids started to love rugby because I love rugby. They got excited about the sport because they see me being excited about the sport. It become theirs. When we are remembering the nations and are on journey with the Lord, his heart starts to become our heart. That's relationship. That's not stale and old and secondhand. So, you know, one day I saw this nice girl many years ago. She's my best friend, Surya. And I realized that she's no longer just my best friend. You know, I'm really impressed with her in many, many ways. So I wanted to tell her that I love her. Okay, I wanted to invite her to become my girlfriend and my wife, because I want to invite her into this relationship, into this partnership, into walking together in sickness and in health, building a life together, working together, develop a family together to build a meaningful life. So I was really worried, because what if I would pass out of the friend zone and say, hey, I love you. And then she say, hey, I love you too, but as a friend. Okay, I would not want to hear that. So I was nervous. So I thought to myself, let me take her when the sun was going down. You could see Table Mountain, beautiful clouds, you know, sunset. Because I'm not dumb, I have strategy. Any case, so I said, well, I'm going to give it my best shot. And there I wanted to tell her, I love you. That was my invitation. My invitation to say, I give you my heart. And I sat there and the sweat, it was cold, but the sweat dripped down. And I said to her, Zaria, I think it's a beautiful sunset. It took me 45 minutes, I promise you, to tell her I love you, to give her this invitation, to do all this life with me. And luckily she said yes. In John chapter 21, verse 15 to 19, we see that Jesus have already rose from the dead. He have started off to say to Peter and them, listen, I will make you fishers of men. Now he is inviting Peter again. And he's not going about Peter's failures, about his abilities, about his doing. Jesus go right for the real stuff. It's the relationship, the abiding. To remember the nations is to abide in him, is to journey with him. And this is what Jesus asked him. And many of you might ask yourself, what is my calling? What do I remember in terms of calling? But then you first need to answer this very fundamental question before you ever will find out. And this question is the following. Peter, do you love me more than these? These fishing boats, these people, do you love me with all of your heart? It's not a comparison with everything in you. Every fiber, I've got one passion and it's he and he alone. I'm filled with wonder. I'm filled with inspiration. I'm filled with freshness. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord. Okay. Let me tell you about this cake we are going to bake together. Remember the nations. But it is, in the end, nothing but a relationship with a Father that loves us so much, that He created us, that He came to this earth to save us, that He wants to journey with us. Let's pray. Father, we are so inspired yet again by you as we think about this incredible invitation to relationship. Oh Lord, we are so inspired. We are so thankful to you. Who is there like you? You know us when we were formed in our mother's womb. Before the earth began, you have destined us to have this joy and that our joy can be full, just to be with you. So Lord, we are so much loving you. And we pray this in the almighty name of Jesus, our Lord.